Welcome, ICANN 61. Tuesday, March 13th, joint meeting GAC and ALAC.
So, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for being back at the room. This starts our GAC session 24, which is our GAC meeting with the ALAC scheduled 13:30 for 60 minutes on Tuesday, March 13th. So, welcome. Everyone from the ALAC, and welcome, Alan, and please I hand over to you if you want to kickstart the
meeting. Thank you, and I was going to hand it over to our liaison. I'm not sure where he is. Oh, okay, sorry. Do we have an agenda on the slide? Apparently we don't. Okay. Uriya, may I ask you then just to read out the items on the agenda, and we'll start with the first one and ask, see if I believe there's an AOB, and I think we do have one request for an AOB. The slide is coming, I'm told.
So,
not sure where it has to come from.
I can start if you're not. Okay, perfect. Yep. Go ahead.
Okay, so our agenda of the joint ALAC-GAC meeting is as follows. Geographic names in the subsequent new GTLD procedures, interim models for compliance with GDPR, cooperation in capacity building in underserved regions, follow-up to the joint GAC ALAC statement on inclusive, informed, and meaningful participation in ICANN and any other business. The agenda is now on the screen.
Thank you. And I have a request for any other business to talk about the KSK key rollover. If there's no further comments, the first item on the agenda is the use of geonames as top-level domains. I'm sure no one here has any idea what that subject is about. And the... Sorry, unidentified speaker. The unidentified speaker is Alan Greenberg. I will try to identify myself. Or maybe we can just agree that I am always the unidentified speaker. We all know where we are on the on work track 5, the GNSO PDP. The ALAC has not come out with a formal position on this. We did have an informal chat about this at the end of the Abu Dhabi meeting. And the position that seemed to be taken by most of the people who participated in that discussion was we believe we would really like to see a solution coming out that did not end up with very strong winners and very strong losers, but somehow come up with something which is acceptable. We didn't have any suggestions on how to do that, however. And I guess we'll open the floor to, does anyone have any thoughts either on how we get there or other issues they want to raise? It's clearly an issue we care about. I'm not quite sure what it is we're going to debate in this forum, but I'll open the floor or turn it back to Manal to talk about where you are in your deliberations on the subject.
So, as you rightly mentioned, it's a topic of great interest to everyone and of specific interest to the GAC as well. We had so much, we had many GAC members expressing interest to participate with the working group. We actually freed our schedule tomorrow for all GAC members to be able to attend if they wish so. The morning session of Work Track 5. And so it's two parts. Part has to do with the process, and the other part has to do with the substance. On the process side, we were expecting more of the CCWG rules to prevail, but we got to understand later that as a PDP it has to go by the PDP rules. This kept us busy for a while discussing the process, and I understand you also. I mean, you had the same discussions at the ALAC as well. Yeah, Alan, please.
Yeah. Yes, we also went into this, I guess because of the way it was originally presented by the GNSO, that we presumed it would be equal membership, and although there aren't votes, if there ever were a vote, it would be, counting heads of the formal members. It quickly became apparent, and I should have known better, because I'm one of the ones who participated in rewriting the GNSO PDP rules last time around. And the rules actually allow us to use an exact CCWG-type format. It is an open-ended set, but it says if we're going to use a different set of rules than the current PDP working group, they have to be formalized, which means probably a year process to get them approved, assuming the GNSO is actually willing to do that. Not something we can do with outside of the GNSO. So since we didn't really want to put this on hold for a year anyway, there really was no choice. I, to be honest, don't worry about it a lot, because what we have hanging over the GNSO is the threat of, if we really don't like it, number one, we have said we are going to approve the outcome or not approve the outcome. What the GNSO does with the outcome of that work track, if indeed several of the parts of the community reject it, I'm not quite sure how they will proceed. And even if they proceed to accept it, we still have the threat of advice to the board, yours being more powerful than ours, but nevertheless. Yeah, I think that's good ammunition on our side to try to make sure that our voices are heard in the deliberations. It's not quite the same, but even in a CCWG, we can be overruled. So it seemed to be a reasonable way going forward from our perspective.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. And exactly, the response we got actually from the co-chairs is that if we want, as a GAC, to proceed with the CCWG rules, in other words, just nominating 5 members only, then we can do so. But we didn't see a merit of just abiding ourselves only by the CCWG rules. So now the discussion is more focused on the substance side. So we're trying to make our voices heard. And if colleagues who are participating to Work Track 5 would like to share any views, I think this is a good moment to do so. So if not, any other remarks or any other things on this specific agenda item?
I will comment that the ALAC, actually the RALOs, each did appoint a what I call a lowercase liaison to the group, not to be the formal representative of that group, but just to make sure we have communication going back and forth to each of our regional groups. I don't think that really applies in your context, but that was almost to make sure we had at least five, and we weren't about to limit ourselves to five either.
Yeah, in fact, and thank you for bringing this up, because we did the same. I mean, we also nominated, I think, six, maybe, not five, so that we maintain at least those six as conveying GAC views and maintaining open channels and keeping the GAC updated. So, but we also have other participants participating as well. So it's more or less the same thing.
It's nice to see we end up with the same techniques without actually talking to each other about it ahead of time. Anyone on my side, on ALAC's side, who wants to raise any issue? Then I guess we go to the next topic. And that's interim models, or interim model now, since we have one, for compliance with GDPR. I'll start if you'd like. We've had a few spirited discussions in at large and at ALAC. We have not come out with a single position. A lot of the things that people have stated within ALAC are concern that what ICANN is proposing may or may not be acceptable to the data commissioners. And if you listen to Joran, he believes there's a good chance the data commissioners will actually give us some comments back. So we don't have to hypothesize on what they may say. That will make life a lot easier. Either they'll say, no, it's not acceptable, or yes, we can live with that, and then we have a way to go forward. Clearly, from the ALAC perspective, as a principle, we care about privacy. We care about the integrity of the Internet, and that implies that law enforcement and non-law enforcement cyber people, cybersecurity people, be able to keep on doing their job. But obviously we also have to comply with the law. And finding a way through that, my personal position, and it's a personal one, is that things like GDPR and comparable privacy laws in other places have been formulated without really thinking of the impact on the Internet. And without necessarily working in conjunction with their law enforcement and communications departments who are responsible for the Internet in their countries. And I think, if nothing else, this may have forced people to talk to each other within our respective governments who perhaps didn't before. That's probably a good thing.
So thank you, Alan. And I mean, from the GAC side, we have already submitted comments and actually proposed also a model that we are currently contrasting to the ICANN proposed model. One issue that is becoming a hot topic as well is the accreditation of entities who may have access to the non-public data. I keep hearing everyone saying we don't want the GAC to be heavily involved in the accreditation model. This did not come out from the GAC. Neither had I seen it in the proposed accreditation as well. So I think the discussion is more of the GAC might be playing a coordinating role when it comes to like law enforcement agencies, where the main lists are compiled at the national level, of course, so it's not up to the GAC. And again, when it comes to the code of conduct, the GAC is willing, like all other stakeholders, to be involved, provide advice, and participate to this code of conduct as well. So again, I mean, the details are missing everywhere. But it's. I mean, I can see everyone is reiterating the same views again. So again, and I'm speaking here personally and not on behalf of the GAC. I believe, I mean, everyone can agree on a very minimum set that should be kept tiered. And everyone can agree on a very minimum set that is not harmful to be put public. But then there is a wide range that we need to agree upon. And I would have liked to see where the compliance issue would... whether the compliance issue would narrow this range to what in our discussion is mandated by the compliance and what is kept for the debate. I mean, it's difficult to tell because I think it would help the discussion to know exactly whether something is compliant or not, because if not, then it's going to be out of scope. But anyway, I pause here and see if GAC colleagues or ELAC, of course, would like to weigh in.
Yeah, one brief comment, and then we'll go to, I see Tijani has his hand up. One of the really contentious issues is whether all of the items that are currently in the WHOIS are legitimate to be collected. Because clearly you can't make them available to anyone, including law enforcement, unless we have them. And when ICANN did its survey, it found every single element was claimed to be useful by cyber abuse people and law enforcement. Now, whether the data commissioners will consider that as a valid reason for having collected it, clearly it's not the reason we put the element in WHOIS 30 years ago. But is that now a valid reason for collecting it or not? And that's going to, I think, be one of the controlling factors of what goes in there. And we don't know the answer. I can say I believe it's a sufficient reason, but what I believe doesn't really matter a lot.
Yeah, and this is the external factor we need to resolve this.
The encouraging thing is ICANN people are saying that the privacy commissioners are talking to other people and giving opinions. So we hope they will with us too. Tijani.
Thank you very much, Tijani Benjima. I'm a member of the ELAC, and also I am speaking on my own behalf. I see that, as you said, the most contentious point now today is the accreditation. And tell you the truth, ICANN was a little bit they didn't go to the extreme for self-accreditation, but there is a demand of self-accreditation among our community, and this will be a problem to have a consensus on it. I see the whole project, the whole model, will not be compliant with the GDPR. What is the problem is that people are discussing things that are not the objective. The objective is to comply with GDPR. If we are speaking about who is, etc., there is a working group, it is a PDP work. So now we have a problem of compliance, and we have to comply with the GDPR. If we take the GDPR point by point, we will see that we are not compliant. Collecting the whole who is, the thick who is, it is not compliant with the GDPR. Storing the thick who is in two places will not be compliant with GDPR, because when you put it in several places, the leakage is very easy. So it is more or less public. So you have to limit several other points. So now we have a model, and I understand that ICANN is a sum of constituencies, and there is a lot of different interests and different point of view, and what they could do, they did it, I think, and now it is to the community to perhaps improve it, and it is also very important to the experts to say if it will comply with GDPR.
Yeah, Manel speaking here. If I understand correctly, the compliance is a full range. I mean, it's a range of compliance. I don't think it's a binary compliant versus non-compliant. And I think this is the challenge here because, I mean, if we know if something is not compliant, it's going to be out of scope of the discussion. But the challenge here is that we don't know really the range of what's compliant and what.
It's clearly going to be the judgment calls of the privacy officers collectively, and we can say whatever we want here. That may end up matching exactly what they say. Chances are it won't, and that's what we're going to have to work towards. I think we have a situation where if we were to be compliant in the strictest sense of the terms, and using, only the reasons for collecting it, we'll only use the data for the reason we originally collected it with 430 years ago, we can be very compliant. We will also have what I would think is going to be shambles on the internet. So we'll see. I find it amazing how quickly we've acted, and that alone is a good sign. The other thing is to I think it's important to understand that there's a number of paths forward. The compliance model, really, we have contracts that say you must collect everything and make it all public. The compliance model is going to tell compliance what not to enforce. The other path we have forward is the board can enact policy, but it's limited for 1 year. And will the PDP finish in time? And that's a challenge too.
Just to quickly share that we're amazed also by how we quickly acted as a GAC. We've been... So, US, please.
Thanks. I just wanted to note that I think it is remarkable that so much progress has been made in the short amount of time. But there's also periodically still the question as to whether or not any compliance model is actually going to be used by the contracted parties. I don't know if you share that concern, but it's been periodically characterized as there's nothing that I can do to force them to implement the model. So I'm not sure what that's laying the groundwork for. So I just didn't know if any others had shared that concern as well.
Certainly I have that concern, but it really comes down to how clearly will the privacy commissioners speak and give assurance to the contracted parties whose money is at stake, whether they should take the chance and follow it or do something that's a lot safer for them. And risk ICANN's wrath, so to speak. So, certainly I'm crossing my fingers that the privacy commissioners will say something really clear, but I'm not sure I'm going to put a lot of my own money on a bet on it.
So, any further comments, or should we move on? Then. Moving on. The following agenda item is on cooperation in capacity building in underserved regions. And as you may know, we have a GAC working group for underserved regions. We've been doing capacity building workshops in various regions in cooperation with the government engagement team of ICANN, and we've done a few of them. So, Pua, would you like to? Yeah, please. So, Pua is the co-chair of the GAC Working Group on Underserved Regions. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Pua Hunter for the transcript. I want to comment in my capacity as the co-chair of the Underserved Regions Working Group. I welcome collaborating with the ALAC specifically on the Capacity Development Program. However, as Manal said, the working group currently will hold its final capacity development workshop in Panama during ICANN 62, having delivered workshops in Africa, the Pacific, the Middle East, and just recently here in Puerto Rico for the Caribbean. Panama will complete the regional workshops. And the working group have not planned for continuation after the workshop in Panama. Instead, the working group will compile the post-workshop surveys and develop an evaluation report to present to the GAC. The report will determine next steps, although the working group is preparing to develop learning content for publishing on the iCanLearn online platform. However, noting the working group's commitment so far in the capacity development space, the working group is open to and welcome joint efforts with ALAC to produce materials and or to plan for the educating of members in underserved regions and within a wider audience in ICANN. This subject matter was raised in a previous ICANN meeting to which I offered support, and I think it's time to work on actions. Thank you.
Thank you, Poa. Alan, would you like to comment?
Well, the ALAC has not discussed at all whether we are interested in cooperating on such efforts, but I have absolutely no qualms on saying on behalf of the ALAC, yes. I cannot imagine anyone in our group saying, no, this would not be a good idea to cooperate and share material and work with each other as appropriate to make sure that, if nothing else, each of our groups knows what the other one is and to participate in any way that makes any sense whatsoever. I am rarely confident enough as chair to make a statement on behalf of the ALAC without asking the ALAC. I have no qualms in this case.
Thank you, Alan.
Hi, I'm Meilin Fung from the People Centered Internet, which I co-founded with Vince Cerf. While we've got capacity building in underserved regions, there are underserved genders that are a huge issue for us and our concern about women's leadership within the internet going forward. So I'm asking as we think about the next stage of capacity building to extend beyond underserved regions to underserved genders.
I wasn't going to respond. I was going to go to the next speaker, but again, I can't imagine that we wouldn't be interested in cooperating to the extent that we have resources to do that. If you want to handle the queue, but we have Tijani, who's chair of our capacity building group, who has something to say, I think.
Thank you very much. I confirm what Alan said. I don't think that the ALAC wouldn't want to have a cooperation in capacity building. And we have an established working group who is making at least 10 to 12 webinars a year. On a regular basis. So as a chair of this working group, I can confirm that we don't have any problem to be in cooperation with you on any kind of activities you want. And for your information, we are using now the iCanLearn platform because it is very convenient now. Thank you.
It's Alan speaking. To be clear, the last speaker was Tijani Benjema.
Yes, Uriel, please.
Yeah, Uriel Lansipro speaking. Just to add that we had a small pre-meeting with Pua and Maureen from our side, Maureen Hillard, who has been interested in this question. Unfortunately, she's not here, but she's at another meeting. But basically what we discussed was that perhaps it could be possible already to do something for Panama. And if Pua could indicate, and her working group could indicate what kind of areas, what kind of subjects, and perhaps what kind of ALAC people they would like to get involved in Panama, which unfortunately is now the last one in this series. Thank you.
Yes, Pua, please go ahead.
Thank you, Uriel. How our capacity development programs are developed is based on pre-workshop surveys. So the agenda is determined by the pre-workshop surveys. We will share that before the end of ICANN 61. And depending on the responses, we will see who we can work with to put together the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And yeah, I mean, Alan, as you rightly mentioned at the beginning, we keep thinking alone, separately, I mean, and then we end up doing the same thing. So why not consolidate efforts as well? So one more thing that we are looking into, if I may bring it within this agenda item as well, is onboarding program. We had around 100 new representatives this past year, so we're thinking why not having an onboarding thing in place for new members to really be able to catch up and be up to speed quickly and get engaged within the discussions. So, again, I think this may be an area that we can cooperate, if you wish.
I mean, that's an area, well, although for the GAC or for ALAC, there may be some specialized things that you want to indoctrinate people into. My understanding is ICANN Learn does have a fair amount of things like that. How up-to-date it is and effective it is, I'm not sure. But we should certainly look at that and encourage the ICANN people to give us a basic tool for onboarding that we can then add to for our own specialized needs instead of us trying to invent it from scratch. So I think we need to look at that carefully and be very critical about whether it meets our needs or not.
Yes, sure. Thank you. John, please. I'm sorry.
Thank you. John LaPrise for the record. I might also point out to this conversation that reaching out to the School of Internet Governance Working Group might also be useful. They might be able to develop a program specifically for the GAC for onboarding.
Thank you, John. Pua?
Thank you, Manal. I just want to point out that there's a session tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning right here for the onboarding program, and I can learn. So if Tishani or any of the ALAC members want to participate in that session, thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Anything else on this agenda item?
Yeah. I don't see anyone else at this point. Before we go on to the next item, I realize I should have done something at the beginning, which I neglected to do. We normally have pretty full attendance from ALAC at this meeting. As many of you may know, the current proposed draft budget did some pretty horrible things to the programs that we use for outreach and engagement, in that all three programs that are used were being cut either completely or partially, and this meeting is in conflict with the discussion of the budget and operational plan. So we do have a fair number of people in that group. So my apologies for the low attendance here. Back to you.
Any further comments before we move on? So if not, then the following agenda item is a follow-up to the joint GAC-ALAC statement on inclusive, informed, and meaningful participation in ICANN. And I think we were very excited to have this joint statement together and to have it so quickly submitted to the board. It's also important that we follow up on this statement, and just we can think together what are the next steps. So
Yeah, it was either fortunate or unfortunate that we put this statement in just after the board had approved funding for a program related to it, and that is to index and make readily available all the information on the ICANN website. And my reading of the response from the board basically is we're working on a lot of that. It's a three-year program. And they tossed it back to us to say, well, basically, what would you like us to do right now that isn't already part of that program? And I think at some level they missed part of the intent of what we were saying. I mean, part of it was very simple. Let's have a uniform numbering system. But I think we're also saying that as new documents are created, we don't need to wait for them to be integrated into a great new system. We should have one-page summaries and things that are readily accessible. And I'm not sure that message was fully captured. So maybe the next step is simply that Manal and I have to write a letter explaining that. But I'm not sure. I'm sure other people have read that same reply, and I'm just curious, was my interpretation the right one or the only one?
Yeah, I think, and we keep receiving the same question, what else do you need us to provide you with? What more documents? And as you rightly mentioned, we were looking at simplification rather than more documents and more long and thick documents. So any comments on this agenda item?
I think how the communication for GDPR has been handled is interesting. They're certainly keeping us up to date. A lot of it is done in blog posts, which are maybe not the most accessible thing and easy to find. And I think we need to take things like GDPR or any other really current issues, and if we think that they're not meeting what we were targeting, that we should, you know, point that out, you know, not necessarily in any very formal way, but just keep prodding to push people in the direction that we would like to see. So.
Yeah, I also like the way the community is, I mean, communicating on the topic of GDPR, despite the fact that it's moving very quickly, but still everyone is trying to keep up to pace, and it's, again, more of multi-stakeholder engagement, despite the fact that we didn't even have the time to put a cross-community working group in place. But still, it's working, so...
That may be why it's working so quickly.
So any further comments? Yeah, and this also brings me to point of prioritization. Whenever the whole community agrees on something that's being a priority, then I think it's achieved more quickly. And I always give an example by the IDNs and the IANA transition. I think they had the same focus from all SOs and ACs, and they are good examples as well. So
I sense that when we have something which is not an emergency, we will then spend a year building a charter for the group, and then another 6 months finding the membership for the group, and by the time we actually do anything, a year and a half or 2 years has passed. And somehow I think we need to fight that urge to formalize everything and make it all slow.
So a stressful time limit is all we need. So any requests for the floor? Then,
please go ahead.
Javier Rua Jovet for the record, ALAC North America. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to reiterate our gratitude from Puerto Rico to all GAC members and observers for coming to Puerto Rico at this time. We thank it. It's the best time to come. We truly appreciate it. And if I may, Madam Chair, I would like to, I should have brought up this point in the second topic, the geonames topic, but just to remind the whole community, the whole GAC, that tomorrow there's a face-to-face meeting at the GNSO room on geonames at 8:30 a.m. You'll get to know more about the status of where this PDP process that's starting is. You'll get to see the different co-leaders there, and of course you see Olga Cavalli there, which is the GAC co-leader, and the others like Annabeth Lange from the CCNSO, etc. So it's a good chance to, you know, get the input of the community. This is the reason why we have these meetings, just to put our two cents in, and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Harvey. Any further comments before we go to the AOB issue? All right. The AOB issue, which was requested to be added, is on the DNSSEC KSK key rollover. That's redundant, sorry. And as you're well aware, I would suspect the key was going to be changed. This is the security key for DNSSEC. And it was supposed to be changed last year. Originally, it was supposed to be changed the same time as we did the IANA transition, and a wise move was made to say don't do them the same day. We deferred it because we found a significant number of the DNS resolvers were not prepared, and the day the rollover is done, the internet breaks for all of those people. We don't know exactly how many. And, of course, at that point, we have headlines in the paper saying ICANN broke the internet. The alternative is to not do a rollover, and no one believes that a year from now it will be any better. And, of course, if we ever have to do a rollover for security reasons, we don't have any experience at that point. John, you raised the issue to begin with, and I've just given a brief summary. Do you want to add anything before we open the floor?
Yes. John LaPriest for the record, and I want to speak in a personal capacity. I'm an ALAC member from Naralo. So at ICANN 61, we've been preoccupied with many issues, including GDPR and the budget, to the detriment of other issues such as the KSK rollover. This morning, ALAC had an alarming meeting with CTO David Conrad, who discussed the KSK rollover, tentatively scheduled to occur in October of 2018. ESSEC has advised that the rollover is important from a technical point of view. It and ICANN.org has discovered a steadily increasing number of resolvers which will fail the rollover, potentially leaving an unknown number of end users without access. The data at hand is very noisy, and ICANN does not know where these resolvers are or how many end users might be affected. Indeed, it is possible that whole countries might be affected by a failed rollover. The KSK rollover represents a frankly unacceptable and unbounded risk to the stability of the internet. I'd like to urge the GAC to please take notice of this issue before ICANN moves forward with its currently planned change in October. Thank you.
U.S.
Thank you very much for that, and for putting this particular issue on the agenda. I just wanted to note that it's the view of the United States that DNSSEC is actually quite important. It's quite important to facilitate security and stability of the DNS, and we are also supporters of its implementation at the root. That being said, it's also very important to develop practices and experience in things such as a KSK rollover, because in the unlikely and hopefully never will happen event that there is a compromise of the KSK or another reason in which we need to roll the key, it's important to have muscle memory to understand the process and practices by which to do the rollover, because the more implementation and adoption of DNSSEC there is, you only increase the likelihood of having significant breakage the longer we wait to do it. So it's, I can't speak for the whole GAC, but from the U.S. perspective, we support having a well-thought-out KSK rollover strategy to have sufficient communication with the appropriate parties to limit the amount of damage that could occur from this. But at the end of the day, the longer we wait, I think we set ourselves up for actually greater amount of problems. And I encourage my GAC colleagues and anyone else to make sure that there is communication within your governments, within your ISPs and any other resolvers to make sure that the right measures are taken in advance of a KSK rollover. Thank you.
The current numbers are rather scary. Of a very small number of resolvers have the ability, newly developed ability, it was only available since last August, to report back whether they're ready or not. Of those small percentage of resolvers that can report back, a significant percentage of those are not ready. And those are the people who have upgraded their software recently and apparently care about upgrading software. The ones who probably don't have the trust anchors updated are the ones who don't care about their software or hired a consultant 6 years ago to install something. So chances are the percentage of those who we don't know about is larger. What we don't have a clue on is how many users depend on each resolver. So if the vast majority of resolvers don't handle it properly, but they only represent 1% of the users, that's a reasonable risk. If they represent half the users in the world, it's a different issue, and there's no way of knowing. So it really is a judgment call. As the U.S. said, do we take the risk that we will ever need to roll it and won't have any experience, or take the risk on the short term of putting people out for an unknown amount of time? Unlike most software upgrades that we do in industry, for instance, where we plan to do a change and if it doesn't work, we can roll it back. We can't in this case. So, Tijani Benjamas will be speaking.
Yes, and I am sorry that I forgot to mention my name. So, Tijani Benjamas speaking. I don't think, in my point of view, anything you will do on the net may have risk. So if you stop doing anything because there is a risk, you will not do anything. And the rollover is something which is compulsory. We are very late. Normally we had to do it several years ago. And now, today, we need to do this rollover. I don't say that we need to do it in October as it is planned. I don't know. It depends on the readiness. But we should be first ready and second, make the rollover. We cannot say don't make the rollover because it will be a problem.
I have seen cards from Hadja and John Laprise. I don't know if there's anyone else from the GAC who has wanted to speak. Then we'll go to Hadja.
Hadi Minyawi for the record. Personally, I do support, of course, the KSK rollover. However, my question is to the GAC. What is the position of the GAC on this?
Frankly, it hasn't been discussed within the GAC. I mean, we've got briefs on this during the previous scheduled KSK, which didn't take place, but ever since, I don't recall that we've discussed this here among the GAC, but I stand to be corrected.
We also had a brief last time and basically ignored it completely, and it's only the fact that it was halted, and the statistics that are coming out now that are, I think, have prompted this. John?
Oh, I was John LaPriest for the record. I was going to add that one of the comments that David Conrad made this morning is that one of the primary software providers for the resolvers, Microsoft, has not built in the new key software into the new resolver software. And so they provide software to many resolvers, so those resolvers are not being serviced in line with the new rollover. Thank you.
All right, to say that without the buzzwords, the Microsoft resolvers may well have the new trust anchor. They just don't have the reporting software to tell us if they do or not. We have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking in a purely personal capacity. I don't wish to spread fear in the walls of this serene surroundings of the GAC, but the issue of KSK rollover is probably more important, even so, than GDPR. If the GDPR issues are not resolved by the end date, the internet will not stop working in some parts of the world. If on the 11th of October 2018 and the KSK rollover takes place, the DNS might stop working in some parts of the world. We're talking about millions of internet users that will not be particularly happy. Thank you.
I mean, the statistics show among those that are reporting, there is, for instance, a significant number of resolvers in India that won't resolve. We don't know why there are so many or whether they affect a large number of people or not. So the information is incomplete, and it's not clear it's going to get a lot more complete before we have to make a decision one way or another. We have several people who have their hands up, and is that... We have the U.S., and then we have, I think, Shun.
Thank you. I would just urge a little bit of caution here before people get really concerned about this. I mean, it is a point of concern, but I urge you to educate, that we educate ourselves with respect to what this actually means and doesn't mean. The internet will not cease to work. There might be some issues with DNS resolution if your resolver, your ISP, has implemented DNSSEC and is validating. Many, many are not doing that. That being said, it's important that you understand what your network configurations are, if your operator is actually validating DNSSEC queries or not, or your DNS queries, rather, and understand what needs to be done within your country or your ISPs to make sure they take the appropriate actions. This is not a matter, at least not at this stage of DNSSEC deployment, that you will see an entire country go offline. So I would just perhaps we could advocate to maybe have a cross-community session on this issue so we can all become better familiarized with DNSSEC itself as well as the implications of a KSK rollover. Thanks.
Shun?
Yeah, this is Sean, for the record, a LAC member, speaking on my personal behalf. I think U.S., I'd just like to add a plus one to all what U.S. has said. We don't need to overemphasize this as a doomsday, because it's not. We have to experience, we have to get it done. I personally, using my own technical background, I think we should have done it already. When we get it done, whatever it is that is the outcome, we can always move on from there. Every delay we have is giving us a very significant risk, which is more than what it would be if we have done it. So please, let's not necessarily scare ourselves unnecessarily. Thank you.
One statistic which you can think of as positive or negative, depending on your frame of mind, is does only affect those resolvers that use DNSSEC, and that number, sadly or thankfully, is going down as a percentage.
So we have Netherlands.
Yes, thank you, Manal, and thank you, everybody. With all respect for all people here, I think this is not the right place to discuss this item. And maybe it's a little bit blunt, but I think we are governments. We are not completely into this game. When we hear signals that the security and stability is at stake, we would rather hear this from Security and Stability Committee or other, let's say, technically skilled or constituencies who are really working on this. So I would prefer, let's say, of course it's good to be concerned, but I think it's not the right place to discuss this. Thank you.
Any further comments or remarks before we close? So if not, thank you, Alan, and thanks to all ELAC members, and thank you for this interactive discussion and for the interesting agenda. And as always, we look forward to intersessional cooperation and our meeting again in Panama.
And thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. So, yeah. Sorry, I have to do the official thing. So, this concludes GAC meeting with the ELAC for the recording. And please remain seated for GAC colleagues. We will proceed with the following session directly. Thank you.